No, he didn't slam you, he didn't bump you, he didn't nudge you, he rubbed you. And rubbing, son, is racing.
And welcome everybody to Locked On iRacing. I am Peter Wilco Wilkinson. We have the newest episode coming to your ears right now, and it is a one-on-one chat with one Brady Baldwin. How are you going, mate?
Good, Peter. How are you going, mate?
Excellent. It's been a three-year anniversary, or close enough to 3 years, since we talked last. We have had you on the podcast before. You're a bit of a regular back in the day, because you are the dirt man that we used to go to for anything dirt related, because you are very good at dirt. But you're also a supercars driver now. What's been happening for the last 3 years, mate?
A lot's been going on the last 3 years. Myself and you as well. So joined Synergy Sim Racing at the start of last year, so 2023. Dabbling in the supercar a little bit more, probably not as much as what I should have. And then I was overseas for quite a while and came back and started dabbling a bit more in the supercar, and then somehow managed to get in the Logitech Pro Invitational Series for this year. So yeah, a bit of a circus.
Yeah. So there's a whole heap there that I want to go through. But not only that, so ODSE, how's it going these days?
It's going really, really well, actually. I actually listened a little bit to the last podcast we did 3 years ago and where I was at, and it was not at a good space whatsoever. So the end of 2022, we went to invitational only, just to control who could and couldn't race. And since then, it's been going great guns. We had a fantastic 2023, and we're four races into 2024. And I honestly think, and also Jake Kennedy SimSpeed agrees with me, we've probably had some of the best racing we've ever had this year. So it's gone really good.
Look, and we can then go to, you're a budding Aussie car driver. I run into you every now and then there, and you are a commentator as well now with SimSpeed. There is a whole heap of stuff we get to talk to you about, but let's start with SSR. How did the journey to get into SSR start? Did you get tapped on the shoulder by, who's in charge of that SSR at the moment? I keep on forgetting.
So Jordan Ross is our team manager. Yes. So you'll see him behind the scenes with Logitech Series, and as a driver as well. So I've obviously known Brenton Hobson for a couple of years through ODSE, him running that, and we've, you know, usually stay in contact every couple of weeks and talk about dirt stuff. At the end of 2022, I was just looking to do something different and get into the road racing more. My team that I was on at the time, I'm still very good mates with them. We talk every single day. So there was nothing in that. I just wanted to further progress my road racing. So I talked to Hobbo, and he put in obviously a good word for me, because I joined early January in 2023. And you say the rest is history, I guess.
Now, ever since I've known you, you've been having a crack at Scops for the last 2 years, I believe. 2022, were you having a crack at Scops back then? Or,
yeah.
I know when Braden was trying to get into it, he was around, you were around him as well at most stages as well.
Yeah, so we did a little bit in 2022. I think I made a top split race once in 22, but I was literally going into them, no practice, just trying to fluke pre-qualifying and see where I'd end up. And even when I joined SSR start of 2023, I was sort of doing that again at the start of the season, because I was still so highly focused on the dirt stuff and spending 80% of my time when I was on the sim doing dirt stuff, building setups and just doing testing and stuff like that. So start of 2023, I had some average results in split two. Then, like I said, I went to America to work on a sprint car team for 5 to 6 weeks. So I missed, I think, three rounds during that time. And I came back after that, and it was right on enduro time for V8 Scops and also the Logitech series. And Brenton Hobson messaged me and asked if he wanted to do the enduros together just for a bit of fun. So obviously I said yes. And we had a pretty decent run at Sandown. I think we finished 16th or something. And then we did Bathurst. We both couldn't do qualifying on the Saturday because I was away racing and he was away working. So we started, I think, 49th, like dead last in the Bathurst 1000. We had a tire glitch in the pit, so a tire didn't change. We had all sorts of dramas throughout the day, but we still managed to top five somehow. So that was pretty cool and got the confidence up in me racing against those faster guys because I was still not really up to speed back then. Long Beach was a day to forget enduro-wise, but still gained a lot of confidence in that. Had a lot of fun and then made two split one appearances at the end of the 2023 year. So that gave me a little bit more confidence heading into this year.
So it's a long road. Anyone who's tried to have a crack at Scops over the time, unless you're gifted with talent, it's one of those things that even when you are, the fields, they've shrunk this year with the new thing. But even back then, 40 in a field, 40 the best VA supercars drivers in Australia is not a mean, not an easy feat to get into, but you did. But you're now in the Logitech G as well. You're in Scops, or you're doing Scops support series. Is that why we can't do Friday? Is that?
Yeah. So I'm doing the TCR support series. I'd done that last year as well. Finished second behind my teammate Damon Mulqueen. So decided me and Damon would come back this year and do it. And Hobo's doing it as well on a Friday night, and Scott Griffiths, another teammate. So we got four of us in there doing TCR. It's just a bit of fun for me, something a little bit different compared to the supercar or a sprint car. So yeah, just a bit of fun on a Friday night, and going not too good so far. I had a bit of bad luck, but yeah, it's still fun nonetheless.
So take us through the journey from 2022 to now with the V8. What sort of numbers of hours have you been putting in now compared to back then? Obviously, you said you were just turning up and having a crack before, but what has changed? Where have you got the speed from? Is it just purely hours in the seat or the team?
Yeah, I think a bit of both, honestly. Joining SSR certainly does help because we've got a lot of really smart guys and a lot of fast guys as well in our team, and really helps. And also going over data as well, analyzing that and how I can improve and get faster. So it's a combination of things, but definitely more seat time, especially after those enduros. Had a bit more confidence and felt I could, do half okay. So we entered the Logitech qualifying series. I think that was in January. We had to do pre-qualifying, which was taking the top 45 out of, I think, 80 odd guys signed up for it. So it was pretty stout. And unfortunately, I was away for two of the 4 days because I was away racing in Victoria. So we barely scraped into the 45 to make the actual qualifying series. So I was a bit worried that, I wouldn't do any good. I didn't have any expectations whatsoever, but I put in a lot of time, probably two or three nights every week going into it, like 2 or 3 hours a night on those nights. So a lot more seat time, and we end up top 20 every single night. The last race at Fuji, we finished 13th, and that was the first night. It actually felt natural for me. Before that, it sort of felt a bit forced. So yeah, that Fuji race sort of was like a coming of age sort of thing. And yeah, it felt really good and just felt natural. And it actually felt easy to drive, which is pretty weird to say.
Well, especially going into, you'd say you get 20 and 20. You sort of need a result 20 or better to get in at that stage. Like, there is a fair bit of pressure on. So I always love to talk about the mental side of things. How was the lead up to that race, the Fuji race? And obviously you came out of it nice and calm and got the result, but how was the lead up to that?
Very, very nervous because I was actually on the bubble heading into that race. So I was position 20 in the points. We had a 6-position gap back to the next guy, and then the next guy along was 7 positions back and so forth. So I sort of knew what I had to do in order to make it in. But yeah, still very nervous. The start was very nervous again, and the first couple of laps were pretty hairy, but once I settled into a rhythm, I felt pretty comfortable, and the more laps I did, the more comfortable I felt and the harder I could push, and we somehow ended up 13th. And like I said, that was the most natural I felt in the V8, and it sort of finally unlocked it for me. So the boys in my team, Tommy, will finally start to feel more natural, and that was definitely the turning point that night.
Excellent. So going into it, were you looking at where the other people were? Is that the main focus, or was just, I'm just going to forget about it and race the best I can and see where I end up?
Yeah, I like to overthink things a lot. So yeah, I had Damon Mulqueen spotting me throughout the whole qualifying series, and I was constantly asking him, like, what's this guy doing? What's this guy doing? And he just said, just drive it, mate. Just drive it. So he knew how to keep me calm and keep my head in the game. And, yeah, it ended up working out for the best. And try not when I didn't overthink it, I drove a lot better. So, yeah, it all worked out in the end.
Yeah, I think one of the most understated parts of racing is the spotter. We've talked of real-life spotters on here before in the past, but how much of a difference has that made for your racing?
Yeah, massive difference. Like I said, just having a good team around me as well, so much support. It gives me a lot of confidence as well, even though I feel like I'm not driving that well. They always say, you know, I'm only a rookie really in these cars, so still got a long way to go. And recently ordered a lot of upgraded stuff for my sims, so hopefully we can go a little bit faster with all that coming soon.
Yeah, well, that's it. Spend the money, and it shaves seconds off, doesn't it? Seconds or tenths?
It's probably going to be tenths with me, but even a few tenths in the Logitech series jump up 10, 15 spots. So hopefully, you know, when it all comes, I'm hoping to have it for round three, but I don't want to fit it like 2 days before and try and get used to a full new system. So
no.
Maybe for round four, but we'll see how all the timing goes. But it is ordered, so we should have it in a couple of weeks.
So take us through, what are you currently racing and what are you going to?
So I'm still like I was 3 years ago on a Fanatec Club Sport wheelbase and Fanatec V3 pedals. And I've said it on another podcast and I'll probably say it again here. I don't think anyone in the Logitech field will probably be on basic setup like I am, but we're going to Simicube Pro direct drive wheel nice. And V&M pedals from Racecraft. So I got a Racecraft rig couple of years ago or 4 years ago now from John, and he's looked after me once again with all new equipment. So keen to have a go, and hopefully we can at least shave a few tenths off would be nice.
That's it. What a good man John is too. I just pulled my Racecraft rig, not the seat apart, because I've been sitting in it too long and it's very sweaty. So put that back together soon. But yeah, they're such a solid rig, and John really does help you out. Basically, you tell him what you need and he'll sort it out for you. So There's an impromptu sponsorship package for John for free, mate. Go over to Racecraft, check it out. I'm interested. The key thing that keeps on coming in the back of my mind is I want to ask you about the transfer between dirt racing and V8 supercars racing. Now, V8s is very much about throttle control and getting on the gas early and things like that. Obviously, with dirt, with the traction, and getting the right exits is extremely important. How much is transferred across from one to the other?
I think throttle control has helped me in some ways. Obviously, a lot different because you have a lot more grip in a V8 supercar, even though they don't have that much grip to begin with. So that part of it as well. And if I have a moment, which does happen quite often, I usually have a moment or two every now and then. I think my car control coming from dirt and probably a little bit of my real racing background too sort of helps me get out of bad situations sometimes. Still learning the Racecraft technique for the supercar because that part's a lot different to a sprint car, but I try and at least philosophy wise take the same approach and just try and stay clean and try and finish. That's the main thing for the Logitech series. If you have a DNF, you get 0 points and your season's pretty much in the bin after that, especially me. I'm not like a Madison Down or a James Scott who's, you know, hyper fast. They could probably recover from their round one, you know, unfortunate crash, and probably they'll be miles ahead of me after tomorrow night round two. So I can't afford a DNF with, you know, my speed and capability. So I definitely need to try and finish every race, and that's just the mentality you got to try and take in.
Yeah, well, that's it. The upside of the Logitech G Series is you need to finish top 20 to qualify for next year. So there is always that goal, and just finishing each race with a fairly solid result will sometimes just get you there, and then you don't have to worry about that whole qualifying school for next season. So realistically, going into Logitech G, what's your expectations? What are you thinking? How are you thinking here to go? What's your aim?
My aim at the start of the season was a top 30 in points. I think that's pretty reasonable and not too outlandish. My teammates say I could definitely aim higher, but I don't want to, you know, shoot for the moon and crash land. So, yeah, I think a top 30 is definitely achievable. I mean, we're already there now. I mean, there was a big crash and a lot of unfortunate retirements in that race, so we sort of probably didn't deserve a P28 that we got at Sebring. But yeah, certainly I think if we finish every race, we're definitely within a shout of a top 30. And with his new equipment coming, hopefully we can, you know, bolster ourselves up to around, you know, 25, top 25-ish every night and be a bit more competitive. And yeah, if I take a top 30 and for the season and a top 20 in one race, yeah, I'll definitely be over the moon if I can achieve those.
When I go into a race and I'm usually racing at the back of the field, I've always got one or two people that I'm focused on to sort of, if I'm beating them, I'm having a great day. Is there someone in Logitech G or a couple of people that you're aiming to try and beat every race? You can name them. No one listens to this podcast. No one will know.
It fluctuates track to track. That's the main thing. So I always try and go off my teammates as a marker because I know those guys, pretty much my whole other seven teammates that are in the series, they will be around the top 20 to 25 at worst every round. So I know if I'm within, you know, a couple of tenths of them guys, I shouldn't be last. So that's usually the aim, try not to be last. If I can get close to my teammates, I, you know, will hopefully be somewhere around the top 30. It's seemed to go that way in any other race we've done. I've been getting closer and closer to them and we've been getting faster and faster. So that'll be the aim for the rest of the season.
So what's the love affair at the moment? Is it you're driving V8s more than dirt, but you really want to be back in the dirt car, or you're happy where you are at the moment, the spend of time you've got currently?
I do enjoy the supercar quite a lot now, just the more I'm doing it and the satisfaction that I get personally from, you know, putting a semi-decent performance or nailing a good lap, stuff like that. I get a bit more satisfaction out of that than dirt. Still love dirt. It's always going to be, you know, the thing I always go back to if I ever fail in a supercar and want to retire from it. So I'm just spending a lot less time in the sprint cars. We're racing fortnightly with ODSC, and I'll honestly spend half an hour every 2 weeks build a setup, and that's all my practice I do. So whereas the supercar, I'm usually doing a couple hours every week, and on a race week, we're doing even more than that. So definitely spending a lot more time in the supercar nowadays. I think the dirt, I probably don't have to spend as much time in it because I've been doing it for so long, even though recently we've had a pretty big update to how the tracks race and how the cars feel. So that's still taking a little bit of adjustment, and we're probably a little bit off where we were last year, but we're slowly getting there, and we've got a 17 race schedule for ODSC, and we're only four rounds in, so still a long way to go.
Definitely. Now, you're talking ODSC, you're talking V8 supercars, you're not talking a lot of experience with weather, but last time I raced you, we raced in an enduro with weather. How are you finding the new system?
I thought that race on Sunday, it was awesome. I love the changeable weather and how it goes from dry to wet to dry and all that stuff. It was really, really enjoyable, especially the 86s, a little bit of a slower car around Bathurst as well. I was up front with my teammate Tom Freer and was having a lot of fun. We'll try different lines throughout practice, and even through the race, we'll change up our lines through different corners, you know, every single lap and trying to find grip and trying find the fastest line. So I found that really enjoyable until I did a 720 spin going into the elbow and absolutely destroyed my car and ended up making back to the pits and got my fast repair, decided put slicks on with 55 minutes to go and the track was way too wet, as you've probably seen, and I rode it off again. So it was good up until that point, but just the one takeaway from it, the white lines are very, very slippery.
Yes, white lines and grass are a killer. Even puddles, that's what killed me at one stage, but I didn't know what happened to you. I haven't watched the replay because it's 2 hours of my life I don't have right now. All I knew was I saw you in the pits and you never got back out, so I didn't know that. I knew there was a few people that were trying to get back out on slicks way too early. We started on slicks, we were those crazy people.
And yeah, there was a few of them.
Yeah I spun a couple too many times, and it was skill lacking on my behalf. I think we had a And I think John Merritt proved it. I think we had a good solid strategy, and it was right. It was just that second rain came a little bit too early. But once we were flying, but just before the thing, and then I made a silly mistake. But I'll talk about that in another podcast later on down the track. But yeah, it is so exciting, and as you said, different lines and all that kind of stuff. Especially as it's drying, you can see where you've got to go. And you can't step off that. But I assume we're getting supercars in the wet at some stage this year. Gen 3 at some stage this year, we'd hope. What kind of stuff are you looking forward to with that? Is it something that you think you might have an advantage on because of that traction control sort of feeling that you have from that you get from dirt and being able to save things before they go haywire?
I'd love to say yes, but honestly don't know. So look, the 86s I've done a couple officials in the dry, and I am terribly slow. I don't know why, but I'm terribly slow on them. But in the wet, I was semi okay. So if that translates to the supercar, I'll be happy. Whether we get rain on the current car, I'm not confident that we will personally.
No.
We haven't even got a damage model on the supercar, and I think nearly most road cars that are current have it. So hopefully we do get Gen 3 this year, but I'm also not confident on that either. Not sure why. A few things I've heard is Ford's being a little bit difficult with sending data over and stuff is what I've heard. Hopefully this year would be great. A lot of people are hoping it comes in before the 1000 special event, but September, so that's still a bit early, I think. But I mean, it's going to be a whole new challenge if we get the new cars in itself, obviously, with a lot less aero and whatnot. So look, I'm looking forward to it because they look a lot better anyway.
Yeah, well, definitely. I think there's going to be some decisions have to be made at some stage, especially with Logitech G and Scops and things like that. Do they swap straight over to the new car, or do they leave it till the end of the season and just go on with the old car? Because it's going to be a fairly big change either way, but I guess we'll have to wait and see on that kind of stuff. But when you've got things like Logitech G, you've got ODSC, how far forward are you planning and looking at the Enduros, and are you doing the special event of Bathurst 1000? Have you even put in any thought to anything like that?
The special event 1000, probably not, because I believe the Scops 1000 is the weekend before the Logitech 1000. So that will probably be my prep race for Logitech series.
Yep.
Enduro-wise, I'm leaving that up to, you know, Jordan and the higher-ups in the team to line up co-drivers and whatnot. I think we've got a few lined up for a couple of our cars, but I think they're still working out the rest of them, finalizing stuff. So I'm just focusing one round at a time, to be honest. I started probably about a week ago doing some more laps at Phillip Island. We obviously did the Scops race there. I think it was about 2 weeks ago, so we got a lot of laps in there. Started probably a week ago for Phillip Island prep for tomorrow night. And obviously once that's over, we'll start doing some Red Bull Ring laps for round three. So not looking too far ahead. I had some decent speed last year at Bathurst for where my skill range was. So hopefully if we got a little bit faster than that, we shouldn't be too bad.
Sweet. So if someone out there is listening to this and they're like, oh, cool, Logitech G next year or Scops, let's try and do that. I'm not the best at supercars. What's your suggestion for the best place to start to try and improve?
Honestly, just doing laps would make a massive difference. AI, obviously, as well. You can race against the AI and set up, you know, how fast they are and how slow they are. So that's if you're just getting into it, that's probably a good training tool. Obviously, Scops, I mean, this year, I think Scops is nearly as tough as the Logitech series. Probably for me, because I can't pre-qualify at all. I'm absolutely terrible at it. So I've actually found it really tough. I've made it split two both rounds so far, and I'm only probably like a tenth and a half, two tenths off top split. That's how close it is. And there's a lot of other leagues doing, you know, VHF car stuff as well. East Coast V8s on Tuesday nights. SRW still run a series, I believe. Yeah. I think that's on a Sunday night, if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think they've got two splits, and there's a Sunday, and then there is another day. I haven't looked at that for a while. But yeah,
so there's a lot of more lower entry level. I think SRW have like a Pro-Am and an AM class. So if you're definitely looking to get into the supercar, there's probably the two places that I would probably start with. And then obviously once you get a bit of confidence, try your hand at Scops and get at least see where you are, where you need to improve. And that's what I did for, you know, a year and a half, and finally started taking seriously end of last year. And, you know, even a wobble like me can make Logitech, so anything can happen.
Yeah, that is it. Look, I'm rather impressed with how you've come along, because I know when we were in skips, you were ahead of me most times, and unless you crashed, but we weren't hugely that far apart. But to see where you've come to now and in the Logitech G, it's a huge jump forward. So well done on that. I'm interested in this trip overseas. Talk to me more about what happened here.
So I think it happened about April last year. I got a phone call from a team owner in Queensland. That was looking to put someone on full time to run a sprint car team. So I did a few races with them, just crewing at the end of, what was that, the 2022-2023 season. And then I got hired end of May last year. So started, I think it was first day of June I actually started. And then probably 6 weeks after that, we went to America and raced for 5 to 6 weeks, which was an awesome experience and first time I actually seen sprint car racing in America live. So that was a big eye-opener and how fast they are over there, and the tracks are double the size. Like, it's incredible. I can't really describe it, like how cool it was. And unfortunately, I won't go into too much detail on how it ended, but unfortunately I'm not doing it anymore. So yeah, it was unfortunate, but I'm grateful for the experience. Yeah, just how it ended probably wasn't too fantastic, but that's probably a story for another day.
Yeah, no, definitely. But what tracks did you end up going to?
So we raced at Williams Grove and Lincoln, which are on the iRacing service. So we raced there weekly. So we're racing at least 2 nights a week, Friday and Saturday over there, and done a few Sunday shows as well. So I think we did 16 races total in 5.5 weeks that were there. So also raced at Bapps Motor Speedway, which I wish they put in iRacing because that is a really cool track and probably my favorite over there. And then we went to Black Diamond Speedway as well, which is a bit of a country bumpkin track, you could probably say. It was a bit unsafe and didn't have any walls or anything. It was all an experience at the end of the day. And I learned a lot personally over there, which I've put into what I'm doing this season, just working on a car on the weekends, sprint car and a wingless sprint as well. So it's all stuff that I've learned over that time, and it's all valuable at the end of the day.
Oh, definitely would be. What was your biggest highlight of being over there?
Our second night our second race at Lincoln. So it was, I think, our third night total. We ran second and led most of the race, which was pretty cool. We started off the pole and led 34 laps and unfortunately got passed by the local track specialist on the last lap, and that dude is fast. Like, watching him race is incredible, like how hard he drives the car. Unfortunately got pipped in the last lap, but finishing second and being in an unknown Aussie team going over there and making our mark like that second night out at that track was pretty cool.
I would assume going over there, the people that are at the speedways, I guess, over in America would be a whole heap more enthusiastic than Australian ones. I guess the people you get at Australia are the keen guys, but I guess it'd be more. What was it like compared to here?
Well, we went to race in Pennsylvania, and they are mad sprint car people, like absolutely mad. And if their driver that they didn't like won, they would boo the heck out of him. if someone they liked won, they would, nearly break the grandstand down. So it's a lot different, but everyone was really friendly in the pits, made us feel welcome, met a really good lot of nice people over there. Still in contact with a fair few of them. So overall it was a really good experience. And in Pennsylvania, they are very passionate. Depends where you go in America. Some places are more late model country. They're big late model supporters instead of sprint cars. Some places are NASCAR, not dirt. So really depends where you go in America, but Pennsylvania is definitely sprint car country.
And what's it take to get up and going over there? Did you ship all your stuff over in containers, or did you get stuff over there and just use stuff over there? How did that work?
So we end up sending 2 engines over there on a container and a few miscellaneous parts. The rest of the stuff they actually bought over there. Wow. So I'm pretty sure we landed on a Saturday morning, went to watch a World of Outlaws race at Williams Grove on the Saturday night, had the Sunday off, and then started building a complete car from scratch on the Monday morning and built spares and everything. We race on that Friday. So we pretty much built an entire sprint car operation in 4 days, which was a massive effort. Very, very long days. We're doing like 14, 15 hour days. And it was pretty hot at that time of year in Pennsylvania as well. So, but yeah, it was really cool. As I said, I learned a lot and it was a fantastic experience and, love to go back again next year. That's the aim. I'm trying to talk to people, try and go over for a couple months next year, but, yeah, it's very hard to get over there as an Australian, obviously with visas and stuff like that. It is hard. And I know enough people over there, but it's still very hard to make anything happen. So, yeah, we'll just wait and see, and hopefully we can keep the dream alive.
Well, hopefully. That'll be awesome. What's the World of Outlaws like in person?
Unreal. Absolutely unreal. It's another level. So that was my first experience of a dirt race in America, was a World of Outlaws race at Williams Grove. And at the start of the race, I stood right beside the track, and I was probably 2 meters from the cars off the start of the race. So yeah, not much safety there. Once they started racing, I got told to stand back, but for the start I was probably about 2 meters from the cars. So yeah, it was pretty cool. And how loud they are, because they don't run mufflers at Williams Grove, so it's extremely loud, very droney, which it doesn't make them sound that good, but it's just loud and intense, and the racing's just, it's off tap. I wish I could do it you know, all year long, but unfortunately I can't. But yeah, that was a fantastic experience to kick the tour off.
Oh, it definitely would have been. So coming back to Australia, you say you work on it on the weekends and your race. I see pictures on your Facebook every now and then of your real life stuff. How's that going at the moment?
Yeah, it's going pretty good. We haven't raced too much this season. The guy I work for, Brent Kratzman, I worked for him probably about 5 years ago, again on the weekends. And unfortunately, when my deal fell through, him and my longtime friend, Drew Gesner, who's his crew chief, I told him probably the day after I got sort of let go, and they offered me a spot straight away to go help them on the weekends. So we've done, I think, probably 10 to 12 races this year. We went to Warrnambool for the Grand Annual Sprint Car Classic as well in late January, which didn't end too well. We bent a car down there, which wasn't great. But we're having a lot of fun, which is the main thing. We've had some pretty good speed, had some good results, and we're racing our final Toowoomba race of the season this weekend. And then we got the Queensland Toll at Maribyrra over the Labor Day long weekend, start of May. So they'll be our last races of the season. And then I'm helping a mate out who lives in Warrnambool. He's coming up for the Australian Wingless title at Lismore over Anzac long weekend. So I've still got another 5 nights of racing for this season. And then we'll have probably 3 or 4 months off, which is probably the worst time of year for me.
Yeah, it would be. So how far are you traveling, and how easy is it to get these cars around Australia, I guess?
So when we went to Warrnambool for the Grand Annual Sprint Car Classic, I actually went in the truck with my mate Drew, and we drove the truck from Brisbane to Warrnambool. So that was a bit of a trek going down there. Fortunately, we didn't have to drive back. We flew back, so that was pretty nice. A little bit more difficult now with the closure of Archfield Speedway, which was obviously right in Brisbane, so we only had like a half an hour drive to go race, and now our closest track's in Toowoomba, which is 2 hours away. So me, Brent, and Drew, we just scoot up in a car and someone else drives the truck up, which is, pretty good, nice and cruisy drive up. And unfortunately, there's not much racing elsewhere in Queensland, which is a big shame. Gladstone Speedway opened up not too long ago, but that's 6 hours away. And obviously, we're racing at Maribyrra in a couple of weeks, and that's 3 hours away. So Brent, who I will work for, he's nearly 50. So he's been racing a long time. He's starting to sort of unwind in his racing and, do it for a bit of fun. So we don't take it too seriously. We just go out and try and have some fun every weekend that we do race. And we haven't actually had a race since late January down in Warrnambool. So I'm looking forward to this weekend.
Oh, definitely. Just out of interest, the name Brendan Cowley doesn't mean anything to you?
I've heard the name. I've definitely heard the name. So I came from a sedan background racing juniors. So yeah, that definitely does ring a bell.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, he's a mate I used to play poker with, and I know them. I know them. They're friends that we haven't seen for a long time, but I know they're very much into the dirt scene, and That's cool. I just thought I'd throw it out there. What is the community like in Australia? Like, obviously, it's not that big a thing, so the same people are going to the same events each week. What's it like with that kind of thing?
Yeah, pretty much for Toowoomba, where we mainly race our season, we're pretty much racing the same people every time. Often we get a couple guys from Sydney come up to race. I think there's, you know, two or three guys from Sydney racing this weekend alone. At the start of the season, when there was a bit more money up for grabs, we had a few Victorians and stuff like that. And over January in Toowoomba, we get a couple. I think they had six or seven Americans out to race because there was they put up a $30,000 to win show, which is pretty cool. Wow. For Queensland sprint car racing. So Toowoomba Speedway do an incredible job. It's my favorite track when I was racing as well. So yeah, always enjoy going there, and yeah, it's always a good time.
Well, there you go. iRacing, we need Toowoomba Speedway into iRacing. That can happen. Let's do that. What's it like working on a car on the weekend, and what's it like when you've bent one and you've got to go and fix it before the next race?
Yeah, it's certainly different just rocking up to the track and just working on a car after obviously doing it as a full-time job for 4 months. I did it for, so I was going to the workshop every day, and I was building cars for the next season before we went to America. So, you know, it's a lot different going from your full-time job than just doing it, you know, once every 3 to 4 weeks. And in this instance, we haven't raced since January. So it's a little bit different. With our deal, Brent has someone who looks after the car, washes it, maintains it, and does any repairs on it. So we pretty much just rock up to the track, set the car up and make it go around, and then put in the truck after, and then we drive home. So it's a pretty casual thing for us. But I'm definitely looking to try and do a little bit more next season, whether that's with someone else or not. I'm not too sure, but racing every, you know, the last 3 months off hasn't really been curing my eagerness to go out to the track and turn some spanners. So, yeah, we'll see what next season holds.
As far as Speedway goes in Australia, people who used to work for me, they were always trying to get me to get my kid into Speedway because you got go-karting, they keep on saying it's extremely expensive. Road racing in Australia is really expensive. They keep on saying Speedway, the upfront cost of the car is the main thing. You don't go through much else. Is that how it works? Is running a team, keeping a team up and going, a car up and going, as like relatively inexpensive compared to other options?
Depends on the level that you're at. A professional sprint car team, I can, you know, say it firsthand, spend a lot of money to keep racing. But if you're a local racer, if say you only race at Toowoomba, you know, once a month, it's probably not that expensive. But if you're a traveling team, race all over the country, it does get very expensive. Obviously, cost of living has gone up in recent years, as you would probably know, and everything gets more expensive. And you know, race rubber's gone up $50 to $100 per tire. You know, fuel's more expensive, diesel's more expensive for the, you know, semi trailers that, or just rigid trucks, whatever you got. So everything's getting more expensive. You know, motor rebuilds cost more. You know, parts cost more. You know, we can probably keep using the whole COVID excuse, I guess, that everything's gone up in price. So obviously, it depends what level you're at. You know, if you're starting out like in a junior category, they can be inexpensive to maintain and keep running. Like you said, the initial startup costs can be a little bit pricey, but once you're sort of going, at least when I race junior sedans, it was pretty cheap to maintain and keep on racing. But even junior sedans nowadays has gone more high tech and more expensive than what it was, man, like 10 years ago when I finished racing it. So it's landscape certainly changed in that sense. But yeah, and honestly, it depends what you do, whether you're a local racer or you travel a little bit or you travel all over the country.
Yeah, definitely. But there's two more things I've really got to touch on, and I'm exhausted, by the way, people. just be aware of that. Commentary. How did you go getting in with Jake and the team at SimSpeed? I know I've done it a little bit. I haven't done it for after, what, 3 or 4 maybe, probably even 2. But how'd you go getting into that? Was that just purely through ODSE, or how did that come about?
Well, yeah, obviously I've known James Jay, sorry, since late 2019. Call it
Jane, if you want. Not Jane, many people call him that.
Yeah. since late 2019 with ODSC. So I think it was probably middle to late 2022. I think he just messaged me randomly. He said, hey, do you want to, you know, start doing some commentary? I'm like, yeah, okay. I've done a little bit of it in real life with some Speedway stuff, I think two or three times. So have like a little bit of experience doing it, I guess. And I'm pretty sure it was an AOG GT3 series was the first time I ever done it. Worked with Jake Sperry, who's, I think, one of the best that we have. Very good commentator and makes it easy for a co-commentator like myself, especially when I first started. And then since then, just getting more and more into it. I've been doing the AOG IndyCar series recently. Did two seasons of V8 Vets with Scott Rankin and do a little bit of fill-in work. When time allows. I've been doing Sud Speed lately as well. And funnily enough, I even commentated ODSC last Thursday, which was a bit of an experience. Unfortunately, Jay was crook and he could barely speak. Reese was crook as well. So I figured I had three drop rounds for the season and I'd take one and made sure the show happened and jumped in the commentary booth. Was a very, very strange feeling because I've either raced in ODSC or I've been, you know, race control running the show. So commentating and having no involvement in how the night went was a very, very different experience.
How left out did you feel?
Very. I said to Jay afterwards, I'm like, I don't want to do that again because it just felt so awkward. But I actually had a lot of fun doing it and it gave me a lot different perspective. You know, instead of just watching the broadcast back or actually being, you know, in the server racing it or being race control, watching it from, you know, Jay's point of view and Race's point of view was certainly a lot different and sort of made me appreciate, you know, some of the drivers that we race against and what we have with ODSC. So definitely a cool experience. Hopefully I don't have to do it too many times because, yeah, it was probably one round I probably wasn't that excited to race anyway. It was a new track, Kern County, and wasn't sure how it was going to go, but it was actually a really, really good race. So afterwards, I was probably a little bit bummed that I didn't get to do it, but it was still fun at the end of the day.
Yeah, definitely. What have you found most surprising about jumping into the commentator's chair, especially for the road races?
Just seeing new names all the time, honestly, and seeing progression of guys as well, which is really cool. Seeing guys sort of start at the bottom end at the start of the season and work their way up. Is really cool to see. And like I said, with the ODSC stuff, it's a lot different perspective as well. Instead of just watching the stream back on YouTube or Facebook or whatever, and actually seeing behind the scenes how the commentators and Jay or Dan, whoever's producing it, see the races, which is really cool. And also see how much behind the scenes work Jay does as well. And also Dan with V8 Vets. It's a lot of work. I wouldn't want to be in their shoes because, I've definitely got enough on as it is with all other commitments I have. So they do a fantastic job and, yeah, it makes you appreciative of how much work they do behind the scenes. I already know what Jay does with ODSC because we obviously work together and get stuff out, you know, pre-race and stuff like that. But for other series as well, it's really cool to see.
Yeah, definitely. I got asked to produce something on Sunday night by the name you've mentioned a second ago, and I just said no. I'm sorry. I don't have that in me because I know how hard that is to do. But is any special moments you've commentated over the thing that you stick out to you? Any special races?
Oh man, I've probably commentated enough now that they all sort of blend into one. To be honest, man, I commentated my first IndyCar oval race. I think it was last week. Actually, it was the.
And who did you do that with?
I did that with Reese Gardner.
Oh,
no, yes. No, sorry. Reese was sick still because it was last week. So I did it with David Haynes last Tuesday for the AOG IndyCar series. And there was
how many puns did he throw out that you just had to
many, it? Many. I've commentated with David a little bit. We have done a few series together. So sort of used to each other. And I'm obviously used to Reese because we've worked together with ODSC before as well. So, the more I do it and more I get used to working with other people, it makes it a lot easier. Obviously, worked with Scott Rankin for a couple of seasons as well on Vets and as well as Simon Mazzomo too. So, yeah, it's really enjoyable, something different to do, I guess. So I guess I can say do a bit of everything, race dirt, supercars, commentate, own a league, yeah, so it's pretty good to be, I guess, diverse within the community.
Yeah, definitely. I want to get onto that last little bit about the league in a sec, but I know personally the couple of races that I've done, I think Sperry was probably the one who pulled me aside and told me some tips the most out of anyone I've done it with, and it was the key one of don't talk to them for more than a minute. You're great at filling air, but we need to swap it around. What you've mentioned some great names there. What have you picked up from working with those guys over the years?
I honestly do remember Sperry saying the exact same thing to me too, because I started with Sperry. Working with him was fantastic because, like I mentioned before, it's really easy to be his co-commentator because he basically like asks you a question and makes it really easy to like say whatever you want to say. So I've certainly learned a lot from each different person I worked with, whether it's, you know, David, Reese, Mez, Scott. I've commentated with Jay, I'm pretty sure, as well. I've commentated with Dan. So
that's a rare thing to do, to be honest.
Yeah, I know. So, six or seven different people I've commentated with, and each person has their quirks and do stuff differently. But I've probably done the most with Reese at the moment. So we usually flow and gel pretty well together. So yeah, it makes it pretty easy once you do enough with one person, as well as probably Reese and Scott. I've probably done same amount of races with, so it's pretty easy and makes it more enjoyable the more you get to know the person as well.
How hard is it to get a word in with Scotty Rankin?
Oh, don't get me started. It's a lot of fun, but man, he's good value, Scott. I won't rag on him too much because he'll probably listen to it and I'll get a message or something once it comes out. But he's really good to work with. His excitement levels and everything, you know, raises the broadcast to another level. Actually, I just thought of a race that was memorable. It was the V8 Vets race a couple of weeks ago at Le Mans. Me and Reese filled in for it because it was an off week for ADSC because they both run on a Thursday night. So me and Reese jumped in, and that race had absolutely everything. Me and Reese both had no voices left afterwards. We were both screaming for 2 hours. I thought Le Mans in a VA would be, you know, probably the worst combination known to man, but just how the race played out, it was absolutely crazy. I believe Scott Gamble won it after he dropped from the server on lap two or lap one, potentially. And obviously it's a 3:45 lap. So by the time he came back to the server, he was still on the lead lap, and with a few safety cars and whatnot, he ended up charging through and winning the race, which we both didn't expect to happen. So that's probably the most memorable one that I can actually think of.
That is crazy. I would love to have seen that. So let's get on to this league that is ODSE, which how long has it been going for now?
So we kicked off our first event was late 2019, and I've actually got a spreadsheet of some stats, like who wins races and how many races we've done, and we're at 98 races at the moment. So next Thursday, we're doing a race Thursday night, non-broadcasted race, bit of a fun series that we do on our off weeks to our main series. So next Thursday will actually be our 100th race, which is pretty crazy to think about.
Definitely check that one out for sure. What, I guess you mentioned 2019, iRacing blows up in 2019-2020 with COVID. We've then seen some people stay, some people go. What have you found being a league owner in that almost 5 years now, or 5 years?
Probably a lot more people going than staying, to be honest. Obviously, 2020, we had, if you've heard of World Series Sprint Cars, it was the main touring series for sprint cars in Australia. They did a virtual version of that during COVID, which I was lucky enough to work with Speedway Australia and help run that. That was not long after my accident, so I wasn't really doing much at the time anyway. So it really peaked then. We were having like 200 people sign up for that, for each event, and there were three events. So that was absolutely wild. And I think probably since 2022, it's dropped down a little bit, but the guys that have been around since then have stayed around. And we're getting a lot more new faces as well. We've got like 8 new guys in ODSC this year, which is really cool. Guys have been around for a little while, but are new to ODSC. So really good to see some new names mixing up the front as well. So it's really exciting. And yeah, it's really cool to see new names coming through every year or so.
Do you see many real-life races still with iRacing on the dirt side of things?
Probably a little bit less than a couple of years ago, to be honest. Obviously, in ODSC alone, we have, you know, Harry Stewart's probably a really good example. He races sprint cars and midgets in Queensland. I talk to him quite regularly at the track when we race at Toowoomba and stuff. You know, Joel Berkeley's a national champion and what he races. So quite a few guys. I'm sure there's a lot more in ODSC. I'm just brain farting at the moment. Can't think of the rest of them, but I think, you know, on Easter weekend alone, we had probably five or six ODSC guys racing all over the country, you know, in Queensland down to Tasmania. So certainly in the ODSC world, there's a lot of guys that do race in the real world as well, or have real world experience, probably like myself, that used to race. And even across other leagues too, there's a lot of guys that do have real world experience. But compared to probably 2 or 3 years ago, it's certainly died down, but there is still a fair few around. But those are the guys that have been around probably since 2019, 2020 anyway.
What cars are you racing in ODSC at the moment?
So our main series at the moment is the ASC series, so Australian Sprint Car Championship. We're rotating between the 360 Sprint Car and the 410 Sprint Car throughout the season. We've got a 17 race schedule. We kicked off late February at Volusia in the 410 Sprint Car. So we've done two races in each, the 410 and the 360. So I think by the end of the season, we'll have, I think, 9 360 races and 8 410 races. So something a little bit different. Instead of having, you know, in previous years, we've had a 6 week 360 series and a 6 week 410 series. We've made a big year, combined both of them to a big schedule, running fortnightly as well. So it's not as much of a grind, I guess, to run it every single week. You know, there's a bit of a gap for people to do other things and whatnot on a Thursday night and do a bit more practice and stuff. But, you know, so far so good. Like I said earlier in the podcast, the racing is really good, and we've got a lot of prize money up for grabs this year. We've had plenty of, you know, sponsors come on board sponsoring individual events too, which is pretty cool. So wow. A lot of effort behind the scenes and a lot of hours behind the scenes, promotional wise and stuff, between, you know, me, Jay, and my admin team as well. So, but it's paying off because the racing's been fantastic and everyone's enjoying it. So, you know, so far so good. And we still got another, 13 races left this year. So, looking forward to the rest of the season.
So, I think last time we talked, I know definitely for a while there, the dirt online community was a little bit hit and miss at times. I guess it was hard to get a good race in. The change to Invitational, is that what's really changed that for you guys?
I agree. I think it is. I was actually thinking about that the other day, how I got the idea for the Invitational thing, whether it was Logitech series coming in 2022 and that gave me the idea. I'm not too sure. It was a little while ago, but you know, at that point in 2021 where we last spoke, we weren't in a good place, and then we tried off again at the start of 2022 and had much of the same issues. So I sort of, you know, had to do something just to break the mold, and me and my other admins decided to make it Invitational only. And I think we invited like 50 guys that have raced with us, you know, over the couple of years, and, you know, some people liked it. And, you know, some people didn't like it because they didn't get an invite. But, you know, you can't please everyone. I've learned that over the last 4 or 5 years. So, end of 2022 was really, really good racing. I didn't have any luck whatsoever, but in the couple races I did do, but the racing overall was really, really good. And then we did 12 races last year. I don't think we really had a bad race, to be honest. I think all of them were pretty good. And again, so far this year, you know, we're 4 races in, and the racing's been actually probably the best I've ever seen. So we've been running. We've had 2 qualifier series as well, one at end of 22 and one at the end of 23 as well. So we sort of try and gauge at the end of each year who wants to come back and who doesn't, and then sort of work out what numbers we want to try and have for each year. So we get a new, you know, crop of drivers in each and every year. We stuck to the 48 drivers for this year, just to make heat races and numbers work a bit more. You know, unfortunately, people have real-life commitments as well with Fortnite. At least, you know, even with Fortnite racing, people still have commitments and things to do and going away. So we've been averaging, you know, high 30s car count every week, but I'd honestly rather have, you know, 35 to 40 cars that, you know, race respectfully, race clean, than have, you know, 55, 60 cars with 10 or 15 people that ruin it for everyone else. So I think it was the right decision, and I think a lot of people that race ODC would probably agree.
Well, the fact that you're still going now, because I know it was a fairly public stopping of the series, I guess, back then. I know your mental health mustn't have been very good at that stage. Obviously, it's a lot more enjoyable to even just run the series now with the way it is, and I think that's the key. If you're running it, it's going to be a good series, rather than if you're not happy and frustrated and not wanting to put your time into it, it's going to leak out. Is that how it sort of fits for you right now?
Yeah, it certainly helps as well. I've had a few guys come on board with admin stuff that help, you know, do race control, which has allowed me to actually do a bit more racing now, obviously other than last week when I actually commentated. So, yeah, I've got like three or four guys that sort of rotate in when they are available. I've got two guys that are always there, and then, you know, a couple of guys that come in most weeks to help out. And they're a massive help as well with, you know, pre-race stuff, post-race stuff. And obviously all the organizing, we've been organizing this since, you know, August, September last year when I got back from America. We started planning to start in February this year. So there's probably been 5 or 6 months of planning for this year's series alone. And stupidly enough, I'm already planning 2025 stuff because I've got nothing else to do. It must be.
Why not?
So, yeah, it certainly does help. And when the racing's enjoyable, and the racing's clean, and, you know, not many people have anything to say negatively about the race, it makes it enjoyable for me as a league owner. I take a lot of different perspective as a driver. Honestly, don't mind where I finish in a race. I've had a couple decent results this year, but I've gone backwards every time, which deep down annoys me, but the racing's been absolutely awesome. So that's my main thing. If the racing's good, I'd finish 24th, you know, dead last. I wouldn't even care as long as the racing's good. So, yeah, the ODC core group that we have now is really good. And obviously racing against the same guys for, you know, 1 or 2 years now, sort of everyone learns how everyone races, and it makes the racing a lot better, I think.
Yeah, it definitely does. And I think the fact that it's going and it's still popular and that kind of stuff is, especially with the dirt community, I think in iRacing is not the biggest. I think the fact that it's still going strong, 100 races just about in, is a testament to how well it's going at the moment and how enjoyable it must be. So congratulations on that, mate. That's a very good effort. To get to 100 is hard in a league as a league owner.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to look back on where we started end of 2019. Obviously, when we last spoke, me and Bob King were running the league, and he just stepped down just before we spoke 3 years ago. You know, he started a family and he's got other priorities, but I still talk to him every now and then. He's unofficially still part of SSR, so we still hear from him every now and then. He helped me with some logo work for this year as well. So, yeah, I've got a good group of guys that help me out, which is really good, and the drivers as well make it enjoyable. You know, get along with all of them, and we usually, you know, have a yarn after the race, or we'll message each other on Facebook and say, you know, how good was that and good race made and stuff like that. So it's a pretty good core group that we got going. And, you know, I've been following the other leagues along and trying to race in other leagues as much as I can. Brett Wheeler, he's obviously been on your podcast too. He's running two leages at the moment. So he took over the
crazy man.
He is a crazy man. So he took over the AFSR series, which is the fixed setup series, on a Monday night. And he also took over, he was half running it to begin with, but he took over the Ultimate Dirt League series, which ran on Wednesday nights too.
Oh, really?
So he's race controlling both those series while broadcasting, mind you. Yeah, he's an absolute wild man. And then he races with us on Thursdays, plus all these other broadcasts he does during the week for American stuff as well. So, yeah, I couldn't do that. He's a great man. I couldn't run two leagues. Running one and then doing the racing I do and commentary and stuff, that's definitely enough for me. I'm sometimes nearly get to a point where I feel burnt out. I'm doing that much. Yeah. But luckily with ODC fortnightly, obviously Logitech and Scops is probably every, you know, 3 weeks. It definitely was a good move making ODC fortnightly, because if I had to do that every week, even if it was just a 6 week block every week, it would certainly make it a lot harder, and I wouldn't actually get to do other stuff that I enjoy like commentary, because I do really enjoy doing that on a night off and get to, you know, yarn about and yell at race cars.
Well, that's it. And I think during my exodus from the community, I guess it was time in the seat I was missing, and time in the seat that the people doing the stuff outside of the racing sometimes miss. I know Jay doesn't race anymore. I'm sure he'd love to do it, but I think he gets more of a kick out of the broadcast and that sort of things. But he's one of the very few people that you do just miss it if you don't get. So I'm glad you still get the time in the seat and doing so well at it and forcing yourself to do more. I need to do more. So hopefully we get back in it soon. But, mate, where can people, if interested in ODSE, find out more about ODSE?
So we've got a Facebook page, Oceanic Dirt Sim Events dash ODSE. I'm sure if you type in ODSE, it'll probably come up. And there should be a Discord link on the Facebook page as well. So, yeah, all information, well, all our race results and write-ups and stuff will be in there. And I believe we still have a ODSE Drivers Group Facebook group. So if you just look up ODSE Drivers Group, that's everyone that sort of race ODSEs in that. And then we have a standalone group for the series that we're running at the moment. So, yeah, if you want to learn about ODSE and potentially, you know, have a run in our qualifier series towards the end of the year if you want to race next year, either look us up on Facebook page or on the Facebook group, and we'll get you put in the right direction.
Sweet. And it's every other Thursday on Sim Speed at what time?
So we're now 8:15 p.m. since we're all back on normal time now.
Yes.
The Southerners have finally come back to reality and gone back on our time zone, Pete. So yes.
Time gone.
Yeah, so 8:15 every fortnight on a Thursday. So we raced last Thursday and we'll be racing again next Thursday. I think it's the 18th of April will be our next race. And then we're running our little mini series on the side probably once a month, which is non-broadcasted, but it's just something extra for the drivers that pay the entry fee for the year, and they get to have a little bit of fun in a few different cars. So, 13 races to go, and we'll see how we go.
Sweet. Now, I've dabbled in dirt before very badly, but if someone wanted to try and take it a bit more seriously, where would you suggest they start with iRacing?
Certainly, well, if you first starting off and have no iRacing licenses or whatsoever, you have to start in the street stock, which is a slow, painful car to drive. But then obviously once you upgrade, you can go into the officials like 305s, 360s. Few leagues around. Obviously, ODSE, I would say, is probably up there in terms of skill level. Obviously, we have some really fast guys in there. Tim Ryan, like I said, Joel Berkeley before, Harry Stewart, those type of guys racing it. Obviously, Brett does a fantastic job with AFSR on a Monday, which is fixed setup. So if you don't have time to build setup or you don't want to pay for setups and stuff like that, it's all fixed setup. Everyone's on the same stuff. He's currently racing the new micro sprints on a Monday night. So definitely get onto that. They had a race last one. It had nearly 50 cars. So he's getting good turnout for that. And then he has the open setup micro series on Wednesdays as well. And I believe Tony, who runs Australian Sunday Night Dirt, he does Sunday night stuff, obviously. He raced a bit of sprint cars and late models last year, and he's doubling into a SRX series, which is starting soon on pavement and dirt. So if you're looking for a SRX racing fix, Sunday night, Australian Sunday night dirt would be the place to go.
Sweet. Excellent. Well, thank you very much for that. Good luck on everything that you've got going, which is way more than I can even dream of going. And good luck in the Logitech G series. Good luck with everything. But any final things you want to shout out before I wrap this up and go to bed?
Yeah, just obviously shout out to all my team at Synergy Sim Racing, everything they do for me and getting me to where I am now. Shout out to Jay as well at Sim Speed for putting up with me multiple times a week, either with ODC or commentating. And that's about it. And thank you, Pete, for having me on once again, really appreciate it. Like you said, it's been 3 years since we had a chat, and I know we've talked to each other on Messenger and stuff a bit and keep in touch. It was actually cool to see you racing on Sunday. Yeah, I haven't seen you.
I didn't forget about the race at all. I promise. I completely 100% jumped on just before the race and went, oh, yeah, that's right. It's today. I better get practice in. Which, look, that's what frustrated me the most. I didn't have enough practice going into that race. But yeah, it was good to race with you. I'm doing the 86s on the Monday fortnightly with Aussie Car at the moment. So if anyone does jump in that, I'll be racing around with that. But yeah, hopefully I'll run into you again sometime soon. But thank you very much for your time, mate. I'm sure we'll talk to you again fairly soon. And yeah, good luck with everything.
Thank you, Pete. Appreciate it.